It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Podcast. Are you tired of sorry ass bums who got sober to be boring as fuck? We made some bad decisions and fried most of our brain cells, but we saved a couple to bring you this show.
I'm Cam, and my partner is Hen, and we're here to do the exact opposite at Rude Dude Recovery. We bring the lighter side of recovery to your ears every Monday. Are you interested in things like how to navigate anxiety, depression without using substances? How about telling Aunt Mildred that you can't come to her 97th birthday party?
Tell Aunt Mildred you're not interested in her fucking birthday party.
Are you a selfish asshole?
Come to the Rude Dude Podcast, where if you're not too uncomfortable with your sexuality to hear two grown men tell each other they love each other, give us a spin.
Rude Dude Recovery is not only for people with substance abuse problems. This is a podcast for everyone.
If you feel like having fun and learning new ways to become a better person, this show's for you. We welcome you to the Rude Dude Podcast.
Word.
Well, hello, witches and beautiful souls. Welcome to the Bellwitch Podcast with me, Swales, the friendly green witch, witching in the 21st century. You are listening to episode 37. Recently, I was in my local soft play in Yeadon, which is Kids About Tarn. It's a play on words because there's a place called the Tarn in Yeadon, so it's like Kids About Town, Kids About Tarn to love. And one of the workers, Kim, who is a fantastic cook, may I add, brought a leaflet to my attention, which was for a new ghost walk in Otley, which is so close to me, and I had no idea about it. I'd never heard of it. And she was like, you should totally get them on the podcast to talk about ghosts and stuff. And I was like, absolutely yes. So it's quite a new little business, and it only started up in February of 2024 and is going strong. And it happens almost every Saturday evening, sometimes twice an evening. And it sounds bloody brilliant, if I do say so myself. So I had to get her on for an interview, and Daisy ended up being a fantastic guest. So you are in for a treat, especially with Daisy's personal ghost stories. They are absolutely fascinating and worth hanging around for. This was done relatively recently. She mentions stuff going on in August, and so I had to bring it to the front of the queue so she gets the most benefit from the episode. So do enjoy. I hope you love it. I am absolutely buzzing because I've just come back from the Lunasar camp that I go to every year at the last weekend of July. We mentioned this camp in the pilot episode of the Bellwitch podcast, actually. So if you're new here, do check out the pilot episode because me and my co-host fangirling over all these amazing camps that are around up the north. We're very lucky. There's loads down south, but there's a little few up north and they're fantastic. Where there's the big John Barleycorn structure that gets built and burnt as an offering. John Barleycorn is a scarecrow spirit who is mischievous and needs burning, and then, oh no, we need to bring him back. And so there's the whole story there. And I was thinking, actually, that might make a really good podcast episode. I shall keep that one in mind. It was brilliant. And I had my friend Beverly Thornton, the official podcast photographer, with me, who took some outstanding pictures of a few naked pagans, myself included, with this very fetching deer skull, which I absolutely adore. I'm thinking about putting the photographs on Patreon, actually, because I'd get banned from Facebook if I put them there. But if you're interested, when I get these pictures off Beverly, I'm going to put them on the highest tier. So there you go, another little exclusive on the Bellwitch podcast. I was in my element, loving life, and the weather was absolutely glorious. Pushing 25, 28 degrees, really sunny, really hot. Got a bit of sunburn, though I'm just so full of amazement and love and magic and witchcraft. Drank way too much mead and felt a little bit dehydrated most of the weekend. But it was lovely though. The people who go are just so my kind of people, my tribe. I can be my authentic self in Delilah the Second, my beautiful big 5 meter bell tent, and have loads of witchy fun. I have decided this is going to be the last episode of series one of the Bellwitch podcast. I need a month off, if I'm very honest, but it's quite a hard thing for me to do. I love podcasting and I'm also kind of scared I'm going to lose my momentum, but there's just so much going on and my head is an absolute shed, which is a shed. And with my kids being off and holiday season and all that, I think my head just gets a bit cluttered. But don't be sad because, oh, I've got an exclusive for you. I am doing another podcast project with my little girl, Flossie, and I want to work on that over the month. And then I'm hoping to release the project as the kids go back in September, early September. And so this podcast will have to just have a little bit of a pause while I work on editing the other podcast. But don't worry, I will be back in early September, I promise. I'll be back with an exciting announcement of a launch of another podcast project. Oh my God, I am mad. And then we'll get back on to the swing of things and resume the Moot Loots, because I have got a massive, massive backlog of Moot Loot interviews to edit and publish, but that's a podcaster's life. I'll still be around, I'll still be online, you can still email me, you can connect with me on the old Tinterwebs. Please connect to me and join my Patreon if you can. You can come in for free taster, or join for as little as £1.50, where you get behind the scenes exclusive videos, manuscripts from the meditations, blog posts, and sometimes exclusive mini episodes. £1.50 is like a cup of tea for this witch, and every little thing helps to keep this podcast rolling. Or you can leave me a little rating and a review to keep going. That'd be amazing. Thank you so much to my lovely new subscribers. Iron T has joined. Thank you so much for supporting me on my little podcast adventure. You are awesome. And also thank you to Rachel for giving me a tip via Buy Me a Coffee. That was fabulous. It's amazing, and I'm truly honoured that people pay me for creating this podcast and for magic, for like practical, bespoke magic. It is the dream job to create custom magic sigils and also make a living out of it. I am just so blessed and honoured that I'm trusted with information gathering and also creating custom bespoke magic for you. Anyway, time for me to press play on the Moot Loot, and I wish you a very happy summer and a great holiday season, whatever you are doing, and I will be back to normal with series two at the beginning of September. So enjoy, witches. Welcome, Daisy, to my little witchy podcast.
Thank you. Hello, Emma.
About 10 minutes ago, I went, oh gosh, I don't know what she's called. Because we were talking on the old Tinterwebs via your, is it your company's Instagram?
Yeah, Turnip Fish.
Hardly call you Turnip Fish.
You can if you want. You can call what you like. I don't mind.
What's this name, this spindle, what is it?
Spindle Shanks McScrew.
You're going to have to tell me what that's about.
I don't really know myself. That's that's my that's the ghost tour, or that's the ghost leader's name. It's kind of loosely based off of Spindleshanks, who, if you ever watched Grisly Tales for Gruesome Kids as a child on CITV.
I think I'm a bit too old for that, actually.
They're all on YouTube and they're great. They're really creepy little cartoons. And at the beginning, there's this old man and he goes, "You are welcome to Grisly Tales for Gruesome Kids." And he's got a little purple spider called Spindleshanks. So that's where that comes from.
Boris the Spider, like another famous spider. So I've only just come across Otley Ghost Hunt Tours. And that really, really surprised me because I'm only up the hill, sort of near Yeadon. I go to Soft Play in Yeadon every week with my kids. And the lady who helps run the Soft Play said, "Oh my gosh, have you seen this?" And she gave me a leaflet.
Oh, that's so cool. It's reached Yeadon.
I know. And I was just like, I cannot believe I've only just heard of this. Oh. It just proves, you know, how hard it is to get the message out there.
Do you know what it is? It's hard to get out of the valley that is Otley. Like, talking of spiders, I say that people are like spiders in a bathtub and they get stuck in the valley and you can't climb up the Chevin or the hills to get out. But I obviously need to up my marketing regime and go to Yeadon and Guiseley.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I just thought it'd be awesome to ask you to come on because I make this in Rawdon area, which is like a neighbouring village.
Literally up the hill.
Also, a big shout out to Kids About Tarn, which is like my local Soft Play. Like, whoop, I love them so much. to Kim, who brought it to my attention, she'll be ecstatic that I've mentioned her.
Yes, thank you, Kim, very much.
Can you tell me a little bit about, is it a new adventure that started or has it been going a while?
It's fairly new, yeah. So I started in February. And before then, I was working in York on the Witches Tour, funnily enough. I worked there not very long, only for about 5 months. And then I started thinking, well, I'm a scriptwriter, so I did at uni and things like that. And I loved it, but it made me really curious about Otley's history and sort of local history and what that might have to offer. So I started to do a bit of research. And yeah, and then it sort of just followed on from there. I was working anyway. I was only doing the witch tour once a week and I decided, right, I can just write my own and take it about. And so that's how it started. But I decided to concentrate more on ghosts because, funnily enough, there are quite a few haunting this little town.
I was going to say, I bet Otley is packed chock-a-block full of spooky going on.
It is chocker, especially in the pubs. And that's just the regulars.
Oh, nice. Like it. I mean, is it going well? Are you getting a nice little following?
Yeah, I think so. It started off very well. It's dipped a little bit for summer, which was to be expected because it's quite light out there. But I'm thinking October time and come autumn, beginning to pick up now, actually. So I've got a few more booked on than usual this weekend, which is quite nice. Yeah, I think October's going to be a fun one for sure.
Have you got special plans?
Yeah, I think there'll be a few more ghosts and a few more scares, and I'm going to up the story game a little bit. Ooh. So there are plans in progress for sure.
So exciting! Are you like a one woman band then, or do you have a bit of a team? Or,
well, I'm a one woman band, but every so often I have a friend who happens to be dead and she pops out and terrifies people occasionally. But I don't see it happen very often. She just sort of does it when I'm not expecting it.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love that. Yeah. You've just been up to Edinburgh Fringe, have you?
So that's it. That's in August. So I've got a few weeks, thankfully, to rehearse. But yeah, funnily enough, again, that's another witchy-themed thing. So that'll be... Yeah, it's a three-hander called My Pretties, which is about two women who decide to start a smoothie business after they realise that their boyfriend has been two-timing them, Fred the Postman. He's a little troll. Yeah, and then they just sort of gradually turn more and more witchy as the play goes on and it all turns to turmoil.
Oh, that sounds so good. Love it. Oh,
it's somehow turned into a musical as we've been rehearsing, so we'll see.
Just following the flow.
Yeah, pretty much. every rehearsal's completely different, but we'll see how it ends up when we actually get there.
Well, I'm hoping, Daisy, that there's going to be a witch or two in your storytelling.
I could tell you some York ones, if I can remember them. It'd be good to dust the cobwebs off.
There's a spider theme going on.
Oh, no, yeah, what's going on? They're following me. Yeah, I can think of some witches. There's a good one, Peggy Flounders, in North Yorkshire, I think it was. But she was my favourite one on the tour because she seemed really misunderstood. She lived, I think, oh God, I can't remember the story properly. I think she lived in the 1800s and she had a beard, and that's why what she was known for. She had a beard and she was quite angry all the time. And one of her next door neighbour accused her of making his cows go lame, which is ridiculous. So she was just labelled in the village as being a witch. But because the witchcraft law was ended, she didn't get any repercussions. Like she wasn't punished at all. So she lived like to a really long age. I think she was like 82 or something by the time she died, which was pretty good for them days. But looking back, like she clearly had polycystic ovary syndrome or something like that, and she was just so misunderstood and it's just awful. But I could think of better ones than that. I just remember her.
Yeah. No, and it's good to remember her on this podcast.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Bless her, and it's lovely and refreshing to hear that she lived to a ripe old age.
Yes, not many of them did. Her and Mother Shipton, they did all right.
Mother Shipton is my favourite witch. One day I'll do an episode on her because I love her.
Yeah, I think she deserves a whole episode.
Absolutely.
I went to the petrifying well recently, made a little wish, dipped my hand in the well.
Oh, did you get some water? You can get water, can't you, in a little...
Yeah, I didn't actually, no. I made the wish, I didn't get any water. Apparently you can leave things as well. I didn't realise at the time that you could actually take things to hang on the well.
Not anymore. You used to be able to, because they had so much. Yeah, when I were young, you could, but when I went last time, which is quite a long time ago now, I actually took something, I can't remember what it was, and they were like, oh, we don't do that anymore just because we've got no storage for it. But you can buy little teddies that they've made to sell.
Yeah.
I was a bit like, I don't really want a teddy.
Yeah, I don't want a teddy.
Thanks. Old days, she used to be able to do that.
Yeah, and you can see all the celebrities who have left things, which is quite weird.
like a pair of Y fronts and all kinds.
Yeah, it's all sorts.
Like what? Right, well, Daisy, do you want to tell us a little bit of history and scary stuff about Otley?
Of course. So the town of Otley gets its name from Otho, who was a Saxon chieftain and owned all the lands between the rivers Humber and Tyne from about 620 AD. So this makes Otley, therefore, a borough older than both Leeds and Bradford. Also gets a mention in William the Conqueror's 1086 Doomsday Book, where it's referred to as Otherley. And its coat of arms consists of three castles and a pair of crossed keys, which is etched onto the other side of the clock tower. Now, the clock tower is located in the marketplace and is right next to the British Heart Foundation charity shop, which is the first haunted location on the tour. And it used to be a building which towered over all the other shops in the marketplace and the clock tower, as it was an entire story higher than it is now. I think it must have been knocked down probably for like asbestos or some reason or other. But it used to be the most impressive building and now is just sort of, you know, the British Heart Foundation, which is still quite impressive, I guess, in its own way. And once upon a time, in the early Georgian era, it was owned by three men, John, Charles and Fred Walker. They owned the house. And then later, after them, it was owned by a J.W. Helliwell, who ran his local grocery business from the building, which was known as the Oldie Corner Shop. Now, statements from staff in 1999 detail the presence of a mischievous spirit on the shop floor. So, for example, one shop member went one morning and it was complete and utter chaos in the shop. There was no sign of break-in whatsoever, but there were three smashed picture frames on the floor and the mannequins in the shop window had been turned around. Many of the staff members reported the smell of tobacco and pipe smoke on the shop floor often. And lots of them heard footsteps walking across the floor while they were downstairs in the cellar and supposedly alone. Now, doing the research, it's quite funny finding out about these three men the three smashed picture frames and this smell of tobacco, which I'm wondering whether that was sampled by our JW Heliwell in his old corner shop. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they were still there lingering. The marketplace as well is really interesting to think about its past and some of the medieval marketplace vendors who used to sort of haunt the cobbles once upon a time. So nowadays, Otley Marketplace is, to be fair, it's pretty bustling. There's a thrice weekly market and a farmer's market as well once a month. I think it's the first Monday of every month. But once upon a time, in the medieval era, there was a eye licker who would quite literally lick the cataracts from people's eyes.
Oh my God, that is gross.
I know, it's horrible. But this would attract much attention from like passers-by, so they'd all gather and watch as they licked people's eye jelly. Licked them all clean. I know.
Oh my God.
Do you know what the weirdest thing is? Apparently, it still goes on today in some parts of the world. I'm not too sure where, but I did, like, when I was Googling eye licker, I found articles for places where they still did that. So, you know, if you ever get cataracts, then I guess you'll know where to go.
Oh my God. That chills me more than the ghosts.
I know. It's disgusting. It's horrible. And just next door to that, arguably worse, depending on your preference, would have been the marketplace dentist who would use pliers to yank teeth from people's mouths, which they didn't have any anaesthetics back then. So they were the marketplace vendors. While we're in the marketplace, a very haunted pub called the Black Bull, which is, you know it, have you been to that?
I have been to that one. Yes, a couple of times.
It's, of course, the oldest pub in Otley. And is well known for that and is now a Grade 2 listed building. Many of the regulars and customers do say that it's haunted, and I fully believe them. People have often heard heavy footsteps again coming from the room above the bar, and some customers have even reported having had their faces stroked by invisible fingers. Yeah, so it's best known for having been drunk dry, as they say, by Oliver Cromwell's troops on the eve of the Battle of Marston in, when was that, 1644. But then they were featured more recently, obviously, on Channel 4's The Hairy Bikers. They highlighted the importance of using local businesses and preserving local history, which is something I always tell the Ghost Tour members is exactly what they're doing when they join. While we're on the Black Bull, if you venture up Kirkgate a little bit from the marketplace and you cross the road, you'll go past the Navvies Memorial, which is a stop on the tour. And then you walk through the parish churchyard, which is said to be haunted by a lady with long blonde hair, a white flowing dress, and no eyes. They must have been licked out by the eye licker.
Oh.
She's often spotted by children, and she's often seen meandering around the graves and singing to herself. But then when you go through the parish churchyard back to the Black Bull, there, once upon a time, was a, just north of the church, was a bone house, which was a small wooden shack where bones and skulls and all other parts belonging to the dead would be thrown after they had risen to the ground's surface after heavy bouts of rain. One evening, many, many moons ago, in the Black Bull pub, there were two men, and they were drinking, well, there were probably more than two men, but at the time, in the story, there are two men, and they were drinking gallons of ale. And one of the men dared the other to venture to the bone house and retrieve a skull. And if he succeeded on this mission, a gallon of ale would be waiting for him, all paid for. So he ventured up to the bone house and approached it with gusto and found his trophy on the floor, unaware that his mate had slipped out the back and followed on after him up Kirkgate. So he opened the door, picked up a skull and heard the words, "That's mine." He dropped the skull in fright and then he dusted himself off and picked up another one. He heard the words, "That's my father's." Sorry, I have to do the voice. So he dropped it again. And then he was gasping for a gallon of ale. So he picked it up, another skull, and heard the words, "That's my grandfather's." I don't know how it's going to sound on a recording, but I'm doing it anyway.
It's great. I love it.
So then he decided to challenge the voice, and he said, "Who art thou?" "I'm the devil," came the reply. "Well, I think you're a very greedy devil," said the man, and he scuttled off back to the pub, threw his trophy on the ground, and exclaimed, "I've won, but it's the devil's, and he's coming for it." And then he got very, very, very drunk.
And the devil came? Oh, we don't know.
Possibly. I think it probably did.
It's funny because I feel some of these tales you're telling me, I have a weird kind of sense of like I might know them a little bit, especially with the charity shop ghost. When you were saying about it, I was a bit like, I feel like I've heard little bits and bobs of this story before. It's like urban legends, isn't it?
Yeah, how strange. Yeah, I guess Brilliant. They do all sort of roll into one in a way.
They influence each other.
Yeah, they must Absolutely. Do. I feel like all ghost stories, especially local ones, probably do merge and have, you know, from town to town, people will tell ghost stories that are similar, and they, you know, it's like word of mouth, isn't it, sort of, especially when you're telling ghost stories in the pub and things like that, like things will get mashed together and change slightly depending on the town. But it's quite interesting thinking about it like that,
and it's beautiful, sure. You know, these stories need to be getting told, you know, like you said, there's an art and a beauty in sharing stories. I did an amazing ghost tour in Robin Hood's Bay by Rose.
That was my favourite. Yeah, she's still going. I'm so glad to hear. When I was little, like, I went on that tour, and it definitely influenced this ghost tour because it was like my favourite, one of my favourite childhood memories. I love Robin Hood's Bay.
It is beautiful. I went there for February half term and did the tour, and Rose was just amazing, and she was just, you know, like dressed up, and she was really into it. You could tell her passion was just oozing out of it, and it influenced me to do a whole podcast on Robin Hood's Bay ghosts and stuff,
which I will link in the synopsis of this episode.
So when I heard there was one down the road, I was just like, mate, I need to.
And that was, this was more or less also influenced by Rose as well, in a way. I mean, that was the first ghost tour I ever went on, and hi Rose, if you're listening.
I hope she is. Yeah, we're like proper fangirling over you, Rose, because you're awesome, and it's great to see you thriving. You are into ghosts. You must like ghosts. Have you actually ever experienced anything paranormal yourself?
Oh, now we're talking. Oh, several times, actually. It's really strange, especially before and during the making of the ghost tour, funnily enough. I don't know if maybe I was just hypersensitive to it or they were trying to contact me, but I like to think that they like the ghost tour and they like to be involved and they like that their stories are being shared. But in York was a strange one. In fact, there's two. When I was, where was I? It's meant to be a really, really haunted area in York. Barley Hall. I went through this little ginnel, and my tour was, I was only about five people on the tour. This was the witch tour. There's about five people behind me, but they were a little distance behind because they're a bit slow, bless them. And I went forward, and I was in this courtyard and into Barley Hall. Beautiful, this hall, and it's often very quiet and it's quite hidden, but they say that it is haunted by the spectral presence of a lady, and that's sort of all we know. We don't know who it was, but it could have been a witch, we don't know. And anyway, so I walked through this ginnel and I just heard this like someone whispering, and there are windows all around, and I thought, someone's actually, you know, taking the mickey here. What's going on? So I was sort of looking up, and I just sort of started thinking, what is still going? And I didn't see anything. There was literally no one there. And then the rest of the tour caught up, and it just stopped. But I just felt like, you know, and it feels eerie, and it feels weird. And I was just like, right, there was something there. And I knew exactly where it was, and it was in the corner, just before you go through the rest of the ginnel, past the hall. And it was this like a sloping roof, and it was just up there. It freaked me out. I did the rest of that stop, and I just sort of kept looking up like as I was doing it, which was a very professional, but I did. And I didn't see a thing. There was absolutely no one there. So that was one York experience. But then another one, and you know, they're quite little, but when they sort of happen and you notice it, it's there and it sticks with you a bit. So the witches, for the witches tour, we got changed in a pub. So we put all our hats and that's where we sort of stored everything, the broomstick and stuff like that. And it was at the Duke of York pub, which is in King's Square. So it's pretty central, next to the Shambles. And you know York, all the pubs are haunted. Or so they say they are. They're all very old. So this one, we had to go right to the top of the pub. But I went in before the tour started, before I got changed for a wee, as you do. And I went to the ladies' toilet. And it was just very strange. The toilet roll just started sort of going down. And I was like, you know, put my hand on it and stopped it and rolled it back again. And then it started going again. And then I stopped it and then it stopped. And then it went down a little bit, stopped on its own, down a bit, stopped on its own, and then down loads more. So I stopped it. And then it did the same thing, went down, went, stopped, down, stopped, stayed for a while. And I was like, stay,
oh my God.
I had to do. And then it was really dramatic, just full throttle. Went round and round and round and round and round and round and round, and I just stared at it until the whole roll had fallen and was just all on the floor and the roll was empty.
Oh my God.
It was really weird.
That is a hell of a story.
It was just really strange. And then I got out, washed my hands, did my tour and went home. But it was just like, I was so freaked out.
God, you must have pooed your pants.
Well, no, I'd already done that, you see.
Oh my God, that is safe, mad.
I know, I think they were trying to mess with me, but I was just like, do you know what? All right, mate, it's calm down. So, but yeah, it was strange. It was a strange one, but that again was just before, it was while I was writing and plotting for the Otley Ghost tour. I think it was actually, that one was my last ever witch tour as well. So it was the last time I would have been getting changed to go to the Duke of York. So maybe they were just trying to say bye. I don't know. But it was quite odd.
That has blown my mind. I mean,
yeah.
When you hear ghost stories, you know, you try and figure out what could cause that. But it's like, there's no explanation unless there's literally somebody on the other side with like some fishing line or something pulling it, you know.
It was very strange, yeah. And that was, you know, it was on the wall as well. So it was, I guess there could have been someone on the other side of the wall in the next room, but I don't know.
That's one of my favourite ghost stories
ever.
Is it? Yay. Remember that on my deathbed. It's amazing.
It might be you in the next life.
Queuing up all these ideas how to haunt people.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right. I've got a good idea. Right, just go to the toilet. I've got another ghost story. It links with the ghost tour as well. This is actually I find this strange anyway. I don't tell my side on the ghost tour just because, you know, I kind of want to keep the stories as they are and stuff like that and relevant to the building. So there's a stop on the ghost tour and it's for the Horse and Farrier, which is, again, an old pub. It was built in like the 17th century and it was originally called the Four Horseshoes, which is likely because it was next to the old town blacksmith. Now, the blacksmith in business for years and years went by the name of George Henry Hunt, and he retired in 1950. No, sorry, he retired in 1946 and then died shortly after in 1950. So he's been spotted by multiple people inside the pub, and he's often spotted behind the bar and at the foot of the stairs that lead to the upstairs function room. And the ex-manager of the pub, who I know because I used to work at the Black Horse in Otley as well, and he was a regular there, so I'm very grateful to him. He's told me a couple of ghost stories for the tour, but he told me this one. So he awoke from his slumber in the night to a big man in a big black trench coat at the foot of his bed. Now, he told me this before I'd done any research into the Horse and Farrier's ghost, or the ex-farrier, George, or blacksmith, George. And it was only when I was practicing the ghost tour and practicing the script and learning my lines and things like that, that I realised that I had seen him as well, which is quite weird. So delving into it, this happened a couple of years ago, 2.5 or so years ago, when my parents or family, we moved from one house in Otley to another. So my mum and dad moved out into the sticks in the middle of a field into a converted stables. When we first moved, my bedroom, as usual, to be fair, but we'd just moved, so I had an excuse. It was a complete mess. I was also at uni at the time as well, so I wasn't really living there. I was kind of half and half, and there was a lot of just stuff everywhere. And I have occasionally suffered from sleep paralysis, but that was one of the first times that I had. I was sort of like, stuck in my sleep. And the corner of my room, and this, of course, is before the ghost hall, this was years ago, there was a tall, older man in a big coat with some kind of tool. And he just gave the air of Yorkshire grump, you know, like an old Yorkshire grumpy, irritated man. And I just got the sense that he was absolutely fuming. And I didn't know why, but he seemed like a right git. And I tried to bend down to turn my light off, but I was sort of still asleep. And then I sort of woke up and was able to do it. And I turned my light off and the switch was on the floor. And then I must have still been asleep and dreaming, because I just kept falling and falling and falling and falling. And then I sort of woke up again and he was still there. And I was like, for God's sake, I'm still, you know. And then I eventually broke out of it and I did turn my light off. I was just really freaked out. But I recounted to myself everything that I knew about this guy. So I was like, right, Yorkshire, grumpy, big coat, you know. I just started thinking about it. And this sounds really weird, but there's no way of me proving it, but it's true. And my friends and family will tell you that it's true, because I got his name and I thought, right, Jeff. I'm going to call him Jeff. He seems like a Jeff. He's old, he's grumpy, and I think he used to work here on the farm. And it was when I was rehearsing my lines, and he'd been spotted as well by a friend of mine, one of my best friend's brothers. He was going to the toilet, it was New Year's Eve, and he waited outside because he just saw through the crack that there was someone stood there, and he thought that my brother or my dad was, you know, having a slash. So he didn't go in, and he waited there for about 5 minutes, and then he poked the door open. There was no one there. So he came back to me and said, Daisy, is this place haunted? And I was like, yeah. And he went, oh, I thought I saw a man. And I was like, oh, that's Jeff. And then it wasn't until, you know, all of this had happened. There was another instance where I thought I saw someone crossing the landing and stuff like that. And then I finally put two and two together when I was rehearsing my lines. Oh, he's not called Jeff, he's called George. And that was an old stables, and he was a blacksmith. So of course he's been to this old horse stables where they obviously used to be horses, and has been meddling around with their shoes. I felt like I've met this guy, and he is a git.
Oh my God, that's so it. Weird. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't usually tell people that because it's a bit weird.
It's amazing. I love it. I mean, he's obviously rocking up looking for an horse. And there's
yeah,
that you.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he is just looking for a horse. I don't know. Someone needs to give him one.
Yeah, give him a five-finger sandwich.
Yeah.
Bunch of fives, that's what my nan would say. Bunch of fives.
Yeah, someone needs to give him one of them, or a horse.
Or a horse.
either or, you know, I reckon he'd be happy.
Gosh, these stories are bloody amazing. They are so good. And I knew they would be. And I'm absolutely going to come on the ghost tour.
Yes.
I'm going to say it's every Saturday, isn't it?
Yes, every Saturday. For the summer, I've only been doing one. Usually it's at 6:30 and 8:00. But for the summer, I've been doing 8:00. But sometimes, you know, we play it by ear. If there's people who want to book in for the earlier one, can do.
Surely it's better in the dark, surely.
Yeah, I think so. But it's nice in the summer, you know, the bats are out and ghosts will still linger. They'll still be there. And you get a free drink as well at the Black Horse at the end.
So if you've heard it on the Bellwitch podcast, do mention to Daisy that you heard about it on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at Otley, it has such an old-worldy look, doesn't it? It's gorgeous, really, is Otley. I love going. I don't go very often because of all the charity shops, and I just spend too much money when I go.
I know. Dangerous. It's dangerous. But it is fun. There's a nice little zero waste shop as well. I have to say that because it's my mum's. called like Nana did. So I'll give that a little shout out as well.
Yeah, and there's the 20p shop. I mean, I don't know anywhere else in the country that's got a 20p shop.
No. You cannot go to Otley and not go to the 20p shop.
Every single thing, listeners, is 20p. Everything. Anything.
Everything. Everything. But apparently, one time, the lady who was working there had just bought like a brand new Hoover for the shop, like to Hoover it. And she went out the back. And the, I know, you know where this is going. She went out the back and another lady or whoever was working there was like a... you know, working. And so I was like, oh, this please. They bought it for 20p and then she came back. She was like, where's my Hoover?
Like, oh my God. You'd be devastated, wouldn't you?
I know. Absolutely. To be that person who got a brand new Hoover for 20p.
I'd be like, are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's too good to be true.
I'd have been like, thank you, I'm out now. And then I would have whizzed off with my new Hoover.
Reckon the 20p shop's haunted.
Probably, yeah.
I kind of feel like I should go do a seance in it or something.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Some very, very cheap ghosts.
Cheap ghosts. Title for the episode.
Yeah, cheap ghosts.
It's been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on and telling us a few ghost stories. There is so many more, but we can't tell you them all because you're going to have to go on the ghost hunt and experience beautiful Otley. Where can we find your social media websites?
Yeah, so Otley Ghost Tours, you can just search into Google and it will likely come up with a website called Turnip Fish Theatre Company, which you can book through there. The handle for Instagram, again, is Turnip Fish Theatre, and same for Facebook and for Twitter/X. Yeah, everything like that. If you just, you could type in Otley Ghost Tour or Turnip Fish and it should come up. So Turnip Fish is the theatre company from which the ghost tours are running. And if you'd like to check out anything else that they're doing, got an Edinburgh Fringe show coming up. So if anyone's going to Fringe, please, please come and say hello. We're playing at the Space at Surgeons Hall from the 12th to the 24th of August, Theatre 3. So it should be a lot of fun, be a lot of magic, witches and smoothies. So that and ghosts, if they're your cup of tea.
Such a good combination right there, witches, ghost smoothies.
Yeah,
so it's not your company then? I thought it was your company.
No, it is my company as well.
Oh, it is? There we go. You need to blow your trumpet, girl.
So yeah, the Turnip Fish started a couple of years ago in Norwich, just after while I was doing my degree, and brought it with me to Leeds.
Why Turnip Fish? Tell me the story.
Turnip Fish is a song by my favourite band called the Sultans of Ping FC. If you've ever heard the song Where's Me Jumper?
Yeah,
that's the one. So Turnip Fish is the B-side and it's brilliant. So that's where it comes from. We used to be White Lion Theatre Company because my last name is Lyons and our co-founder Amelia's last name was White, but it sounded a little bit like a pub/an EDL group, so we decided to cancel that name and go with Turnip Fish instead.
I really do prefer Turnip Fish, and I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't work that out, to be honest. I should have worked that out.
It's a thinker. It's a thinker.
Brilliant. And I always ask this one question before I let my guests go. Would you consider yourself a witch? Are you interested in witchcraft?
Yeah, I reckon I am. I feel like witchcraft it's growing on me. I have the bits, I have the bats. I've also always been interested in crystals and plants and nature and everything like that. As I look around, like the more witchy things I can see. I've got a little gypsy love spell somewhere around here. But yeah, I need to find more time to practice the craft, but I would definitely like to consider myself a witch. I'm just gradually coming out of the broom closet.
And that's okay. That absolutely is okay. Take your time and enjoy the moment. And I find with witchcraft and paganism, He just comes along, knocks on your door and opens it up a little bit and then just kind of like scurries in when you're not watching. And then before you know it, you're like a fully fledged, obsessed witch.
Yeah. And I feel like when I was doing the witch tours in York as well, I was literally walking around dressed as a witch. That was probably the most witchy I've been for quite obvious reasons. But yeah.
But not with a green face.
Not quite. I had a green ribbon and a broomstick. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm just not a fan of the green face.
No, did not have a green face. Not that time.
You have been listening to the Bellwitch podcast, created with love and magic by me, Swales, the friendly green witch. I love to hear from you and I absolutely love to celebrate you. If you have a podcast or a business, a witchy business, a pagan related topic you love to talk about, you can reach me on thebellwitchpodcast@yahoo.com. Send me a trailer and I will absolutely play it, because there is magic in sharing audiences amongst podcasts. Music by Jeff Harvey of Pixabay. The official Bell Witch photographer is the lovely Beverly Thornton. Thank you so much for choosing the Bell Witch podcast to fill your ears. Stay magical, witches.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.